a narrative from John chapter 3. There arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except, amen, it be given him from heaven. That's good to remember. It's good to know. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ. Some thought he was. Some perhaps had ambitions to that extent of his very own disciples. Amen. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He was Christ's signboard, Christ's forerunner, his advertisement, his public relations man. Amen. And most of us preachers need someone to recommend us. That's why we have a good standard. Amen. And preach righteousness. And that's why it's very important that we not be rebellious against those in authority over us. Because when it comes our time, somebody's going to have to recommend us. And invariably, they'll call the one who we came up under. What about old Mike? Amen. Is he all right? What about Andy? Is he all right, LL? Can I trust him behind my pulpit? Amen. What about Dougie Stevens? Is he all right, LL? Amen. And on and on and on it goes. We need someone to be our town crier. So that's why we need to live a good life and have favor with God and men to that extent. Amen. Come on. Amen. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'd like to preach for a moment tonight why men decrease. Why men decrease? The obvious simple answer is that Christ may increase. Amen. So if you don't get anything else out of what I'm about to say tonight, just remember that in the days to come. Amen. Listen to what John says after he has decreased. He said in Matthew 11 and 3, art thou he, or should we look for another? Now that's a far cry from that great cry on the river bank. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But now, he's shaken. Now, he's not sure. Now, something has happened that shook him right down to his toenails. Amen. His faith is shook. art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Amen. Why must men decrease? Let me read you another one. Maybe it'll help you understand what I'm trying to say tonight. Say John 5 and 33. You sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not the testimony from man, but the things I say, that you might be saved. Now listen to what Jesus said about John 35. He was a burning and a shining light. Notice, however, he said, was. He was a burning and a shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in that light. Amen. What about when the light burns out? Amen. And all you got's a stub of the candle there. The smoked globe of an empty lamp. And you try to light it, and it just produces more smoke, and it won't burn. Now, I might as well tell you tonight that my whole purpose of this message is a feeble effort to explain why some great men do what they do and go the way they go, say things they say, and preach things that they preach in their latter days. Amen. They've decreased. Amen. We don't hold it against old dad when we walk in the room one day and he don't know his own son. You're a handsome young man. Where do you work? You know me, Dad. I'm your son. Well, that would be nice if I was. I'd be proud of you. He don't know who you are. Girl comes in to see her dear old daddy. Amen. He don't know who she is, and she weeps. She cries because her own daddy don't know her. What happened? Something's blocked up here. Something's blocked, and cells are not getting blood flow. Amen. Now, John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Amen. But now the Spirit is lifted. The Spirit's not flowing. Something's blocked. And John says, art thou he? Or should we look for another? Amen. That's John floundering in his last days. But Jesus said, this is Jesus' report about him. I'm glad of this. He said there was not a one born of a woman that's greater than John the Baptist. Amen. Amen. Of all the prophets, he's the greatest. If you looked at him laying in that hovel in a prison, huddled in a corner, shaking, trembling, wondering why, disciples shooting questions at him, you know. Amen. Coming and going. What's happened to our leader anyhow? He did what he said he would do. He decreased. Amen. Oral Roberts knew it in his ministry. I read 40 years ago where he wrote, I know that someday my ministry will decrease. But oh, how hard it is for us to come down. I'm saying this in a feeble effort to help you as you read the biographies of great men and you see their lives played out right before your very eyes. Not to discount the good they did because of the floundering in later life. Amen. Oral Roberts did a great work for God. and stirred his world for God. As great as Billy Graham and greater. Amen. In fact, there were dozens that were stirring their world for God greater than Billy Graham. Billy Graham was a lone figure of the evangelical movement that was making a splash. Amen. And these mighty men were rocking their world for God. I can tell you tonight that I lived long enough to see them, pardon me for using the term, decrease. I saw them decrease. Why does it have to be so? Why do men decrease? I'll tell you why I think, and I'll be like Paul. I'm speaking and not the Lord. I give you my honest opinion tonight. The best I can explain it is that God don't want us to worship men. And we're prone to hang our salvation on preacher's coattail if we're not very careful. We're prone to hang our faith in God on these great men of God. And if they go down, if we're not anchored on the rock, we'll go down with them. Amen. Decreased. John decreased. It is my unqualified opinion that Abraham decreased. Amen. If you want to read in the 25th chapter of Genesis, again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimram, Jokshan, Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shua. And Joktan begat Sheba, and Dedan, and the sons of Dedan were Asherim, and Letushim, and Leumim, and the sons of Midian, Ephah, and on. And that strain of the children of Abraham became identified as the Midianites. And Israel had trouble with them in days to come. Why in Abraham's later life did Abraham marry Keturah and give birth to a renegade like Midian? Same Abraham. Amen. He had decreased. God didn't hold it against him. He kept his place in the hall of fame of the heroes of faith. Amen. And he gave all that he had to Isaac. He had enough sense to know that the promise was for Isaac. Amen. And he gave gifts to his other sons and sent them away. But he gave all that he had to Isaac. What was happening anyway? Abraham was decreasing and Isaac was increasing. In time to come, Isaac would go blind. Amen. And Isaac's reasoning wouldn't be as strong as it was. It was easy enough for Jacob to act like he was Esau and put fur on his arms, you know, and let blind dad feel of him and smell of him and say, smells the smell of the field. Amen. And it's the voice of Jacob, though, but it feels like Isaac. What happened to Isaac? His reasoning, his ability. Amen. Feels like Esau, excuse me. Amen. What happened to Isaac's ability and reasoning power? Isaac was decreasing. Amen. He would, in a form or figure, reap what he had sown, perhaps. I don't know. Amen. But in those times, God seemed to overrule. Amen. And he kept their place. They maintained their earthly trinity, if you will, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and God identified with them. Praise God. There Jacob stood before Pharaoh. Amen. Jacob was old. His countenance was marred by his grief. And Pharaoh couldn't actually tell if all he was looking at was from a long life or from hard times. And he said, "How old art thou?" Jacob shelled down the corn. He said, "Few and evil have the days of my pilgrimage been, and have not attained unto the days of my fathers." Amen. Jacob was getting ready to pass the torch. He may not want to pass the torch. He may not want to give it up, but he would anyway. Huh? Amen. I knew William Branham and went to his meetings, amen, all over the country. I traveled to Connersville, Indiana, man, in 1953 to be in William Branham's meeting. Before I ever knew y'all, some of y'all wasn't born, but before I ever knew these people in Hamilton, Ohio, it was living for God. Amen. Till 44 years ago that I found out there's a church in Hamilton, Ohio, and I preached a four-week revival for them. 44 years ago, this month, I was preaching in Hamilton, Ohio. I was 21 years old. Amen. I was on my way to becoming the Oral Roberts and the Jack Cole, amen, and the Billy Graham all rolled into one and rocked my world for God. I aimed at the moon and landed in the highway of holiness. Amen. That's not so bad. Amen. I'm preaching all around the world tonight. The sun don't set on my preaching and my ministry tonight. Praise God. I landed in the highway of holiness, and by the help of a few laborers that labored tirelessly, and by the help of your foresight and visionary, praise God, we're preaching all over the world tonight. People drive to camp meetings, revival meetings. Preachers get encouragement and healing from those tapes. Amen. And it may be, praise God, that I have been able to do more than I thought I was. Amen. But my time too shall come to decrease in about 40 years, more or less, probably less. Amen. I knew William Branham in his great height of career, if you could call it that, ministry. I knew him when he claimed to be nothing more than a Baptist preacher with a third grade education filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And after great trials, amen, God had spoke to him in his youth. He was with a group of young people in a car, and they were getting ready. God had told him, "If you'll not smoke nor drink nor defile your body in any way, I'll use you for my glory." Told him that in his childhood. One day he was in a car, a load of young people, and they were smoking, and they dared him to smoke, and they laughed him to scorn because he wouldn't. And he grabbed a cigarette and said, "I'll show you I can smoke." And he heard that same wind blowing in the trees that he heard when he was a child. And he began to cry and threw it down and ran away from those young people making fun of him. Amen. He told about how in his early ministry, how that they bought an easy chair for him to sit in. Amen. And rest after he'd worked hard preaching on Sunday night. He'd go home, sit down in that big easy chair and rest. And how that money was so tight that one day he came home and his wife had fixed him his favorite cherry pie. And she was trying to humor him. And he asked, "Where's my chair?" And she said, "The furniture company came and got it. because we couldn't make the payments. Not long after that, his wife died. Not long after that, his little girl died. And he was devastated. Amen. And he saw a vision one night as he prayed of his wife in heaven. And she invited him to a big easy chair. And she said, "This one's paid for. And they won't be coming to take it back." And a beautiful young lady came and spoke to him. And he recognized her as his little girl, full grown in heaven and glorified. It was after such losses and such devastation that God used Brother Branham in such a mighty way. Amen. He told him, "If you'll be faithful to me, I'll reveal to you the secrets of men's hearts." And he did. I've seen him pray for people that I knew. Amen. And unveil. Brother Virgil Waterman sitting beside me in Hammond, Indiana. We'd try to get to the front and concentrate and pray, because many times you're not able to get in the healing line. Brother Waterman couldn't get in the healing line, so we sat up close to the front. We stayed in church about all day so we could get a front seat. Amen. Brother Branham was praying for folks, ministering to folks. Amen. We were sitting right down in here, about where Brother Bud Johnson's sitting. I was sitting beside him about where Peggy's sitting. Amen. Brother Branham turned around and pointed at him and said, "I can't heal you, but I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You've got rupture." Brother Waterman was crying and praising God. Amen. Said, "Did I show you what I put on my card?" No, he hadn't. He took his card out of his pocket. He put rupture on there. Amen. God had revealed the secret of his heart. Hallelujah. Time after time, I saw him do that, and the congregation melt as they knew they were in the presence of God. Amen. But I lived long enough to see Brother Branham decrease. And I'm trying to tell you why men decrease. He drifted into questionable doctrines, way out doctrines, old errors that churches had made before. Amen. And made people question his whole ministry. But I want to, in some feeble way, try to help you along that line tonight. The reason men decrease is because there are people right now sitting around in this Miami Valley listening to Branham tapes. They don't have a pastor and never will have a pastor. Amen. They have no government and they're still worshiping Branham. It would have been worse if time had went on. But God, in order to point us to God, away from the man, he allowed the man to flounder. Let me use the word decrease. He allowed the man to decrease because of our weakness, folks. Our weakness is to follow men and worship men, particularly great men, gifted men, men with great personalities like mine. And amen. You're supposed to laugh at that joke. Amen. Hallelujah. We're particularly prone to follow. And our weakness is that we idolize men sometimes. Amen. And after men fail, if we're not careful, we'll follow them in their failure and become partakers with them. I don't mean to speak evil of anybody or to put anybody down that's having a hard time or anybody that's floundering or anybody that has decreased. Amen. But I asked a dear old man that stayed with this church, and his wife went to another church following the man. I said, "How's your wife doing, brother?" He said, "I'll just be frank about it, brother. She's still worshiping man." And sometimes we do that. We worship men. And because we put too much stock in men, we backslide sometimes. And God don't want us to do that. When men fail, we lose out with God. And God don't want us to lose out with God. If Solomon backslides and splits hell wide open, don't follow him into hell, go on with God. God will handle Solomon, and Solomon will make a comeback. And in his last words, he said, "Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of a man." He had done his share of floundering, but now he's made a full turn. Amen. He's coming back. Amen. What happens when men decrease and the best of men decrease? Amen. So that men won't worship men. Sometimes God lets us see them flounder so we'll know that they are just men. Amen. Oh, yes. It's our weakness to look to men. And when men decrease, strange things happen. Abraham marries Keturah. William Branham drifts into once in grace, always grace, in grace and unconditional election and short hell and other false ideologies, errors that the church has made down through the ages. Amen. And it looks like those people sitting around in circles listening to those tapes would see that the man has decreased. It's time for us to pick on and get up and pick up the Bible and pick up and go on. Amen. And what do you do when the lamp burns out? Amen. Well, if you keep it long enough, it may become an antique. Hallelujah. And sell for thousands of dollars, praise God. Because men have a tendency to look better 100 years beyond their death than they did in their last days. We have a tendency to be more forgiving 100 years down the road. Amen. Probably if Jonathan Edwards came to our church, we might not like him. And one Methodist preacher said if he preached in our service centers in the hands of the angry God, verbatim, he said the saints would cringe in embarrassment. But us evangelicals, we like him. Amen. We like sermons like sinners in the hands of an angry God. We like the story of the biographer that said men got a hold of their seat and shook, and they cried out while he preached, "Have mercy on us, Mr. Edwards," and fell out in the aisle, and revival broke out. Praise God. As he preached, sinners in the hands of the angry God. Amen. We may not like Joseph Parker and Charles G. Finney and others if they preach to us. Amen. We may not like John Wesley, particularly after he got married and his brother Charles wrote to him and said, "You've broken my heart." Amen. And boy, what a wife he got. Why did God allow John to make such a mistake? Charles would write later, "More than once I saw her hands in those venerable locks. And she would literally pull his hair out in a fit because John was preaching the gospel and going, going. She got so desperate she would write ahead and accuse him of adultery to those to whom he would preach." Amen. And someone said one reason that he drove or rode a horse 5,000 miles a year, amen, to preach the gospel was to get away from her. Well, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. I don't know. Amen. I wasn't there. Hallelujah. But strange things happen when men begin to diminish. When men begin to decrease. Amen. Sitting in the car with Brother K.A. Smith, and he was down on this certain preacher that had wrote a Bible. Amen. And he thought we ought to cast him in the trash heap. Amen. Because of one past failure. Amen. I said, "Well, are you going to throw away Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon?" Amen. Sometimes we don't realize what we're doing. And sometimes, if we're not kind, and if we're not careful, when it comes our time to decrease, there'll be a whole bunch that'll take us and throw us in the garbage can too. Amen. We're just doing the best we could do. And don't hold it against old dad if he gets Alzheimer's and you don't even remember your name or who you are. Be good to him. Be kind to him. There was a time that he worked with his hands to feed you and clothe you. Amen. Be good to old dad and mom when they get old and feeble and can't make it for themselves, because the trend today is, no matter how well off the kids are, put them in a rest home and get them out of their hair, our hair. Amen. In this particular home, because dad was kind of messy with his eating and smacked loudly, they had him a little chair in the corner all of his own. Amen. And they allowed him to eat in the corner by himself, make all the noise he wanted to, and strew his food if he wanted to. And one day, as the family sat around the table and Grandpa sat in the corner eating his food, head down, one of the little kids piped up and said, "Mom and Dad, some of these days when you get old, we're going to get you a little chair and let you sit in the corner." And that was the last time that Grandpa had to sit in the corner, because they realized they're going to reap what they sow. No, you don't have any right to dishonor your mom and dad because they got old and couldn't kick for themselves and couldn't make it any longer. Amen. John Hagee said he was going to move in with his kids when he got old, and said he was going to peel rubber for a block on their car and bring the car home with the gas tank empty. Amen. And he said, if they say anything about it, he said, "I'm just paying you back for what you did for me when I was raising you." Praise God. Amen. He's going to move in with them. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I tell you the main reason, folks, that these things happen. And sometimes we take it wrong and get off way out in left field. Sometimes backslide and leave the church and lose out with God because we say, "It ain't like it used to be." Oh, yes, it is. And it may get better. Amen. God can pass this torch to a greater man. Amen. And there are young that are sitting in the ranks of our churches that ought to be the sum total of all the books written and all the biographies made and all the life stories put together. Amen. Who will do, and they are equipped, praise God, to do a better job.